congregations, local churches. There is no Catholic church. There is no universal church found in the Bible. Yet the Southern Baptists in their statement of faith believe in a universal church. Yet the United Methodists in their statement of faith believe in a universal church. You say they don't believe that. Look, the United Methodists, 10% of their preachers are queers. Don't even try to defend the United Methodist Church to me, brother. They got a dyke and a faggot behind the pulpit. If you don't like that word, then go find another church. Go find one of these queer churches. They'll put the faggot behind the pulpit. I'll stand behind the pulpit and call him the faggot that he is.
Amen.
And if you don't like that kind of preaching, nobody forced you to be here this morning. I'm here to preach the Bible, and I'm sick of that. Hey, let me tell you something. Our country's run by faggots.
Yeah.
You know who wrote this $700 billion bailout bill? You know who was the man who was the architect of the bailout? His name was Barney Franks. He's a pedophile. He's been arrested for interacting with boys that are in their teenage years when he's in his 50s. It's in the news. He's been arrested for it. He is a pedophile. He is a homosexual. He has stood up in the floor of the sacred halls of justice in this country and said, I am gay, I'm a sodomite, that's Barney Frank, that's who just sold our country into fascism, that's who just sold our corporations to the government, that's who sold out our country, a faggot, and I'm here to tell you something, I'm not going to stand by and let a faggot run the church.
Amen. Good.
It's bad enough that we got a bunch of faggots running the government.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to stand by and let some faggot run the church? See, I don't like that word. Why don't you like, what word do you like? Gay? Gay means happy. Gay means joyful. I'm happy. I'm joyful. He's a faggot. And you know what? You want to know who the biggest hypocrite in the world is? The biggest hypocrite in the world is the person who believes in the death penalty for murderers and not for homosexuals. Hypocrite. The same God who instituted the death penalty for murderers is the same God who instituted the death penalty for rapists. And for homosexuals, for sodomites, queers. That's what it was instituted for, okay? That's God. He doesn't change. Oh, God doesn't feel that way in the New Testament. God never felt anything about it. He commanded and said they should be taken out and killed. You know why God wanted the sodomites in the Old Testament to be killed? You know why every good king of Israel, the Bible says they got rid of the sodomites in the land? You know, the good kings that came after the bad kings who had allowed the sodomites to infest their land? They had infiltrated. King Asa got the sodomites out of the land. Jehoshaphat exterminated the sodomites that were left from the days of his father Asa. Why? Because the sodomites are infectious. That's why. Because they're not reproducers. That goes without saying. They're recruiters. How are they multiplying? Do you not see that they're multiplying? Are you that blind? Have you noticed that there's more than there were last year and the year before and the year before that? What? How are they multiplying? They're reproducing, right? No. Here's a biology lesson. They're not reproducers. They're recruiters. And you know who they're after? Your children. Remember you dropped off your kids last week? That's who they were after. Remember you drop them off and leave them with somebody all the time and you don't know what's that. You drop them off at some daycare, drop them off at some school somewhere, you don't know where they're at. I'll tell you where they're at. They're being recruited by the sodomites. They're being molested by the sodomites. I could tell you so many stories about people that I know being molested and recruited by the sodomites. They recruit through rape. They recruit through molestation. They recruit through violation. They are infecting our society. They are spreading their disease. You say, is homosexuality, it's not a physical disease, it's a sin disease. It's a wicked, filthy sin disease, and it's spreading on a rampage. Can't you see that it's spreading in a rampage? I mean, can you not see that? Can you not see that it's just exploding in growth? Why? Because each sodomite recruits far more than one other sodomite. Because his whole life is about recruiting other sodomites. His whole life is about violating and hurting people and molesting them. So how many sodomites is one sodomite going to produce? A lot. And that's why it just explodes. The only way to stop, you say, how are you going to stop it? Well, you know why animals reproduce too much? Have you ever seen an area that's just too many of a certain animal? Like I told my story about being in Glencoe, Illinois. I told this like a long time ago, but about how the ladybugs had infested this water treatment facility, and everywhere I walked, there were just ladybugs everywhere. And I asked the guy that worked. I said, "Why are these ladybugs infesting?" And he said, oh, man, don't even get me started on that. It's so ridiculous. The boss man thought that it was a good idea because they had this other really small problem with these little bugs to bring in some ladybugs to solve the problem. And this way he said, the ladybugs have no natural predators in Glencoe, Illinois. And nothing is killing them. Nothing's eating them. They have no natural predators. And so they're just multiplying, and we don't know how to stop them. You know why the sodomites are reproducing so much, or not reproducing, good night, recruiting? Because they have no natural predators. Now tonight I want to preach this sermon, and you probably never heard a sermon like this before. Actually, you probably have if you've been coming to church here for a while. But you know what? Here's my sermon. Why I hate Barack Obama. That's my sermon tonight. Because, Barack Obama's coming to town tomorrow morning. Barack Obama is coming to town. And he's going to be here tomorrow morning. Who knew that he was coming to town? I didn't know. I just found out recently. With his health care and everything like this. And I'm going to tell you something. I hate Barack Obama. You say, well, you just mean you don't like what he stands for. No, I hate the person. Amen. Oh, wait, you mean you just don't like his policy? No, I hate him. Now, I'm going to prove this from the Bible tonight, why I should hate Barack Obama. Why God wants me to hate Barack Obama. Why God hates Barack Obama. God doesn't love everybody, because here it is in front of me, black and white. And literally, I can show you, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but I one time I made a list of all the verses where God said he hates people. It's like 30 verses where God talks about hating people, okay? And yet people just don't want to accept it. They just want to believe that God loves everybody. But he doesn't. Now look at Psalm 58. Now tell me if anything we read tonight contradicts my thesis here. God hates Barack Obama. I hate Barack Obama. Okay. Look at verse 6. This is David praying to God in the book of Psalms. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. Like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Now look at that. This is David praying against people. Cursing them as he prays. Praying that God will break their teeth out of their head. Isn't that what it said in verse 6? Praying that they will melt like a snail. Now you say, what is that about? Who has ever salted a slug? Come on, don't be shy. You know, when you're a kid, there's a little, let's say there's a rainstorm. I grew up in Sacramento, California. There's a rainstorm. And then, as soon as it gets sunny again, what happens? There's all these little snails and slugs that are going along the concrete. And, when you're a child, I would never do this anymore. I love all of God's creation. But when I was a child, you'd say, quick, go get the salt. Right? And you'd run in the house, and, you run in, and you're rummaging through the cupboard, and you get that Morton salt shaker. Right? And you go out to the snail, and you salt the snail. And what happens? It begins to melt. It melts away because I don't know why, I can't explain the science behind it. But for some reason, when you salt a snail or salt a slug, a slug is nothing but a snail with no shell, right? In German, actually, the word for slug is naked snail, okay? Because it doesn't have the shell. And so it's basically the same creature. And so, you salt it, it melts away. David is praying in verse 8, as a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. Like the untimely birth of a woman. That's talking about a miscarriage. That they may not see the sun. He's basically saying, let them die like a miscarriage. Let them melt like a snail. You love violence. You love to harm others. You love to hurt or kill the unborn or the innocent or the righteous. He's saying, God is going to bring that upon your own head. Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now turn back to Psalm 58 And let me ask you this question. Why should Barack Obama melt like a snail? Why should Barack Obama die like the untimely birth of a woman? Why should his children be fatherless and his wife a widow, as we read in this passage? Well, I'll tell you why. Because since Barack Obama thinks it's okay to use a salty solution, right, to abort the unborn, because that's how abortions are done, my friend, using salt. Right? Saline solution. There are many ways to do an abortion. One of the most commonly used ways in America today is this injection of a saline solution, and the embryo melts like a snail. And I'd like to see Barack Obama melt like a snail tonight, because he needs to recompense what he has shown. He has spent a life of being pro-abortion. He has voted on legislation to not only kill the unborn, but to kill the newborn. I mean, when he was in Chicago, in the state senate, everyone else voted that if a botched abortion actually lives and survives, that they would care for that child and give it medical treatment and care to keep it alive. And yet Barack Obama said, nope, let it die, about a newborn baby. And yet I'm told by the preachers of 2009, love Barack Obama. Unbelievable. I'm told, love him. Pray for him. And we're going to get to that a little bit later in the message. Respect him. Obey him. I mean, I guess they want me to put a bumper sticker on the back of my car. I guess, obey Obama. You know, that's my new slogan. That's my motto. Obey him, love him, respect him, pray for him. God ordained him. God appointed him. Yeah, God appointed him to destroy this country for the wickedness of the United States of America. God appointed him because that's what our country has turned into. That's who we deserve as a president. But let me tell you something. I don't love Barack Obama. I don't respect Barack Obama. I don't obey Barack Obama. And I'd like to see Barack Obama melt like a snail tonight. Because he needs to recompense. He needs to reap what he sowed. You see, any Christian will tell you that someone who commits murder should get the death penalty. Because that's what it says in Genesis chapter 9. That's what it says in the Mosaic Law. That's what it teaches throughout the Bible. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. From the image of God created he man. And when Barack Obama is going to push his partial birth abortion, his salty saline solution abortion, hey, he deserves to be punished for what he's done. And I'm not going to pray for God to bless Barack Obama. This is my prayer tonight to Barack Obama. Now look, if somebody's going to twist my arm behind my back and tell me to pray for Barack Obama, this is what I'm going to pray. Because this is the only prayer that applies to him. Break his teeth, O God, in his mouth. You know, as a snail which melteth, let him pass away. Like the untimely birth of a woman that he thinks, he calls it a woman's right to choose. You know, he thinks it's so wonderful, he ought to be aborted. It ought to be abort Obama. Ought to be the motto. But look at this. Look at chapter 59. And look, don't get uncomfortable. I'm just preaching God's word. Amen. Let me introduce you, this is the Bible, okay? You know, Christian Bible. Bible Christian, okay? Now that you've become acquainted a little bit, you know, now you know who you're dealing with. Look at chapter number 59, verse 2. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. Look, people who are bloody and violent are evil people. I mean, do you love Adolf Hitler? Do you love Joseph Stalin? Do you love Mao Zedong? Do you love these evil, sadistic butchers of history? No. If you were to meet Jeffrey Dahmer in real life, if you were to meet John Wayne Gacy, or if Adolf Hitler could come back from the dead and be in church, I'm sure you'd go shake his hand and tell him it's good to have you. No, the Bible said in Hosea 9:14, throw them out of the congregation of the Lord. I will love them no more. You say, why are you preaching this? You know what? Because it makes me mad. I'm mad. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up tonight. I'm angry tonight. Because I'm angered by a bunch of preachers who want to sit back and let America go to hell, let our freedoms go to hell, let the souls of America go to hell, and we all just sit back and just is we're comfortable, we're lazy, we're lukewarm, we're neither cold nor hot, and we want to come to church and have our ears tickled. Hey, this isn't to tickle your ears, it's to give you a swift kick in the pants tonight. Because that's what you need every once in a while. You need to come to church and get a boot in your rear end. And that's what this sermon is. Because we don't need to constantly just have this, oh, it's great, it's wonderful. You know, I love to preach encouraging sermons. And there's nothing more encouraging than the Bible. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is a God of wrath and vengeance. And that's the message that ought to be thundering from every pulpit in America today. People ought to be trembling today. The people in America ought to be scared to death and trembling and saying, oh God, what are you going to do to our country? Oh God, are we going to be able to survive? Oh God, are you going to give them? Or are you going to allow us to go into the depths of socialism and communism with Barack Obama? But instead, we just sit back, we're comfortable. Now, according to verse 6, did Jesus Christ die for Barack Obama? Absolutely. He died for everybody. Now, when little Barry Monsanto, or what was his name? Barry Santoro, you know, that's what his name used to be, you know, before he put on his cool name, Barack Obama. Barry Santoro, what is it? Barry Santoro, that's the name that was blotted out. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, Barry Santoro, when little Barry was playing baseball as a kid, and, you know, and where in Kenya where he was born or whatever, and he's, you know, using a stick and a mango or something, I don't know. But where, you know, I'm just trying to paint the image for it. When little Barry is over there playing stickball in Africa, hey, God loved him. God wanted him saved. Who knows? Maybe even some missionary came to his house when he was a child and gave him the gospel and tried to get him saved. Very likely. You know, there are a lot of missionaries in Africa. Who knows? What, you know, but I promise you one thing, that Jesus died for him. I'll promise you one thing, that God gave him opportunities to be saved. That he had opportunities to hear. Because God never turns anybody over to a reprobate mind until they've had ample opportunities to hear the gospel. I mean, in my life, I've heard the gospel so many times. I've had people knock my door with the gospel. I've had people hand me a tract and try to talk to me and give me the gospel throughout my life. You know, I was already saved because I got saved at the age of 6. But I promise you that Jesus died for him. I promise you that he heard the gospel. I promise you that he had chances and God wanted him to get saved, and some preacher pleaded with him to get saved, or some soul winner somewhere wanted him to be saved. But I'm going to tell you, there came a point when he just pushed it too far, and that's when people go down this downward spiral where they just become so wicked, you can't even understand how could a human being be that wicked. I mean, you ever pick up the newspaper and hear about some of the atrocities, the Jeffrey Dahmer, the John Wayne Gacy, and you just say, how can a human being do it? They're not human, they're an animal. God said that he'll give them the heart of a beast. That's why they can do it. He said he'll make them past feeling, take away their conscience, and they're just animals. You know, Joseph Stalin was an animal, sadistic murderer, monster. Let me tell you something. Oh, Barack Obama has wrought lewdness in America. America has become lewd. What does lewd mean? L-E-W-D? Obscene. Right? Dirty. Filthy. Homosexuality. Promiscuity. All, you know, everything that's on the billboard, the TV. Sensuality. Lewdness. We don't even know what lewdness means anymore. Because we're just surrounded by it. We're inundated with it. The things that we would look at and probably just think they're normal parts of American culture, God would say, you know, that's lewd. The way that woman is on that billboard, the way she's dressed, the way she posed, hey, God would call that lewdness. We might think it's normal because that's how we grew up. But God says it's wicked. It's lewdness. It's nudity. He said, pray not for this. 3 times in the book of Jeremiah, he describes their sins. He describes their abominations. He describes their atrocities. And he says, you know what? Do not pray for these people. And yet you're going to tell me that I'm supposed to pray for the socialist devil, murderer, infanticide, who wants to see young children and he wants to see babies killed through abortion and partial birth and all these different things, you're going to tell me I'm supposed to pray for God to give him a good lunch tomorrow while he's in Phoenix, Arizona? Nope. I'm not going to pray for his good. I'm going to pray that he dies and goes to hell. When I go to bed tonight, that's what I'm going to pray. And you say, are you just saying that? No. When I go to bed tonight, Stephen L. Anderson is going to pray for Barack Obama to die and go to hell. You say, why would you do that? That our country could be saved. Amen. That innocent lives could be saved. It's not just the abortion. You know, it's all the warfare, too, that our country has no business being involved in.